Welcome back to the Academy, everyone. Matt and I are here with episode 3 today.
We're really excited to talk about Captain America and Avengers. So this is your spoiler warning. If you haven't watched these two incredible movies, get the fuck out.
I think these are probably one of the most just fun movies a part of the MCU. They just set up a lot of great things for it. So this is an episode we're really excited to do.
You are going to notice we are switching things up a little bit. Episode 2, we got some feedback. We don't want to just lecture you about the movies. You guys have seen the movies. You don't need to hear us talk about us watching the movies. We want to tell you about how we feel and what we took away that was super important to the universe as a whole. So we can help you get the understanding that you want.
And the basic concepts that are important. So yeah, and we talked about it and we're like, we're kind of just lecturing them. Let's try and switch this up because that's not fun. You don't want to feel like you're actually in school because this is a fun school.
Yeah. So I guess we'll start off. We're going to start with Captain America.
Captain America, First Avenger. Great movie. I love this movie. So we're going to be talking about kind of the plot, the major points of the plot in this movie, just to start us off. You guys should know the characters, so we're not going to go into depth about who they are. You should know who they are. So the first major thing I think we take away from it is the super soldier serum introduction by Dr. Abraham Erskine. Probably butchered that name, but that's okay.
There's worse names to butcher, don't worry.
I know. So the biggest thing that he says about this serum is that it makes you more of what you already are. So that's why it was given to Steve. If you remember, they threw a decoy grenade, and he's diseased and just so skinny and, just ugh, and he jumps on it sacrificing himself. So that's why it was given to him, just because it makes you more of who you already are. So Matt, if you want to kind of dive into that a little bit.
Yeah, so one thing that is said a lot through the MCU is, especially around super soldier serums, is when someone takes a super soldier serum, it not only amplifies their own strength, but like you said, their personality and their characteristics. So if someone is good before they take it, they're going to become the greatest people ever. But if someone's bad and they take it, they're going to be just evil bastards that are just hell-bent.
It kind of amplifies your personality to 11, turns it to dials it to 11. I think that's a good way to put it.
And I think we all know someone that has that kind of personality of its own. Lexi.
Oh my God, Matt. Matt, why would you say that? You know what? I would never trust you to take the super soldier serum because that's how I feel now.
Wow. Damn.
Yep, truth comes out.
Okay, so the next part that was super I don't even know the word. This movie's just so crazy. It's so wild. It's so important.
It's just so well done too.
It's just so well done. So Captain America is a cheerleader in the States, and he's okay guys, you guys need to buy war bonds and go to work and recycle shit.
He's basically a tool by the government. He's used by the government. He's not really a soldier, it's not what he was made for. But when the doctor was killed, they didn't know what to do with him.
So eventually he's okay, I want to go over and boost morale and shit. And the government's okay. And he just does the same thing over there. And the soldiers, I think I remember the soldiers are can we just have the girls out? We haven't seen a girl in months. Just want to see, we don't want to see some guy in tights.
And I think that was where it really hit home to Steve Rogers that, I'm Captain America, but I'm not Captain America. He held the title of it, but he felt he wasn't doing anything to earn that title. And all he wanted to ever do was look out for the little guy and, he doesn't like bullies and everything like that. So when he goes to rescue the Howling Commandos or the 107th Infantry, that is when he really actually becomes Captain America.
And so during those kind of, during that fight scene, it's not really a fight scene, it's more of just a prison break, he grabs everyone. He actually had some internal motivation besides wanting to be a true Captain America. His best friend from home, his name is James Bucky Barnes. We love him.
Don't mind my dogs in the back.
He gets captured as well with the 107th, And Cap is like, okay, I need to go save him. So he saves him, brings back almost every person from the 107th. And that's when people start to realize that he's actually, like, you know, dope. Like, he's not just some, like, guy that's dressed in tights. He's like a super soldier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he actually finally earns his name that he has during this. And I think this brings us to our third point of after rescuing the 107th Infantry. He takes the men he rescued and he goes out to take out the Hydra bases. So during these fights, Steve does lose Bucky. And I think this is a scene that really hits home, I think, for a lot of us, because we see the relationship those two had. I mean, they were best friends since childhood and everything like that. You know, Bucky always looked out for Steve, Steve vice versa. They were inseparable. So during one of those fights, Bucky falls from the train and is presumed dead, and Steve blames himself for Bucky's death.
So Peggy also says something to Steve, basically saying, Bucky loved you, like, he would have done anything for you, so you did everything you could have done. There wasn't really anything that, you know, like, you can't feel bad for the decisions that he made, because he made them for you anyway.
Yeah, and he was like, you know, he followed you, or Peggy said, he willingly followed you there, Steve, so things like that. But those are kind of our major plot points, I think, that stick with the MCU for the universe as a whole. So I think that's kind of a good roundup of that.
So there's also, we wanted to talk about just some of the characters or other objects, items that are like super important just to the world building aspect. So the first thing we have is Red Skull. He was introduced as Johann Schmidt and he becomes head of Hydra. For those of you that don't know what Hydra is, it's an ancient cult that became part of the Nazi regime, and they've always been bent on world domination.
And yeah, I think when we first learn about Hydra in this movie, it kind of is a little confusing about what they are and like what their plans are. Like, it can, the lines kind of become blurred. So we just wanted to preface, or, you know, really emphasize that it's just like an extension of the Nazi regime in this movie. So I think that's where some people get confused with that.
So then one of the things that really like makes Johann Schmidt Red Skull, I mean, it literally makes Johann Schmidt Red Skull, is he took the first super soldier serum that Erskine also created. And it had a lot of, you know, side effects and stuff. Like, it worked, but it made
Don't
him look
wrong.
Super
it works.
It works. He's like, he's strong. He's smart. He's strong. And he was bad before, so he's evil now. But he also is like, he has a deformed face. He's like all
those man's
red.
Those cheekbones, they are
chiseled like a Greek statue.
Chiseled. Like Leonardo da Vinci could have done that.
But yeah, so he's just a bad guy now. Like, he's super evil. He's hell-bent on, you know,
he's
world domination. He even is like, yeah, screw the Nazis. They're not going to do anything. Like, screw them. Like,
this man is delusional.
Like, I hate Hitler. Like, we're not going to deal with them anymore. We're going to do our own thing. Takes a bunch of German soldiers, and he steals the Tesseract. We'll get into what the Tesseract is later. But he steals the Tesseract to gain power so he can just, you know, dominate the world. And he orders his like chief scientist, his name is Zola. Zola's like weird. He's some like, you know, he's like that stout guy. He's just like really weird. He has to create all these weapons.
Yeah.
Like, create the weapons, use the Tesseract, do it.
Yeah, so basically they use the Tesseract as the power source, excuse me, to create all the weapons and to like fuel them, basically.
And then near the end of the movie, Red Skull fights Captain America. He touches the Tesseract with his bare hands and he disintegrates. We have no idea where he goes.
My man.
He's dead. Like, is he dead? Is he not dead? Like, what? Like, what is this? What is this? He just disintegrates. We don't have any answers.
Just gone. Wiped from existence. I remember watching that and I was like, bro, this man. I was like, this
Whose
man.
Whose man's is this?
I was like, come collect your mans, put him in a vase or something, like, he dead.
God. So, I guess that brings us to the Tesseract.
Oh my god.
So, it was first found in the 1940s in Tonsberg, Norway, in a Norse church. This is also the location that Odin defeated the Frost Giants in the early 1900s.
See where all this comes back?
See, this is like, and this is one of those small things that like, I didn't even realize, like low-key, I didn't even realize this until we were filming this. And then
we were looking at this and Matt was like, Lexi? I was like, yeah. It's like, isn't this like where Odin, I was like, oh my God, you're right.
So, we also know that Red Skull has kind of a Norse obsession. So it makes sense that he, of all of like the powerful items that there could have been on Earth, he goes for this one. So he tells Zola to use it to create super weapons. The power within the Tesseract just completely disintegrates Red Skull. And last we saw, it's lost in the Arctic with Cap until Howard Stark finds the Tesseract, but he doesn't find Cap. And that's how the movie ends.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they couldn't find Cap, but they found the friggin' Tesseract. That's fine.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. Whatever.
And the end credit scenes for this is where Cap wakes up in present day society. And that's what you
mean. And has basically a shit show. He's like, what the hell? Yeah.
So now we kind of want to get into something new that we want to add to our episodes every week. Matt, if you want to explain.
So we call it Thorns and Roses. So basically we take something good and something bad from the movie that we thought was either good or bad. And we just talk about it for just a little quick bit. So Lexi, do you want to go first with your thorn?
Oh yeah, of course. It's just our little hot take on Marvel, each movie. And I think it'll be really fun. So my thorn, I think there's just a lot of moving parts in this movie. It gets really complicated really fast. So there's a lot of inferring you have to do. And a few examples are trying to understand the Super Soldier Serum and the Tesseract and what it does. So that's why we hit on those, because we think those can get a little, intertwined and like confusing. And then my rose, I would say, is I really, really love the friendship and loyalty between Bucky and Steve. The dynamic is just really good on screen. And I just love everything about it.
I think so, like on a different hand, I think that so my thorn is the beginning of Steve Rogers' story is just so slow. Like I get it set up. I'm one of those impatient people that like I love setup, but I think there was just a little bit too much of Steve being, whimpery and shit. So I just really hated that. But it makes sense because of the setup. So I guess it's like give and take. But my rose is definitely the end credit scene, because before we really had no connection between the MCU movies and this movie until Nick Fury and the Tesseract and Stark are brought up. So it's just a lot of coming together and understanding what's going on. Yeah, so I think like that.
I think those are really good points for that. So next, we're going to get into the first Avengers, but we are going to take a quick little ad break and we will see you back in a minute.
Thanks, guys. Thank you guys for tuning in and listening. If you're in love with this podcast and want to help support it,
feel free to use the listener support tool on anchor.fm. We will drop the link in the description.
Love you 3000. Hey guys, welcome back. So we're going to jump right into Avengers. Just so you guys know, like we said before, this is going to be just the plot points and the miscellaneous like objects and characters that we thought were super interesting and super important for not only your understanding for the whole universe, but just for your enjoyment of these movies. So now that we're talking
about
Avengers, let's like just jump right into Loki. The last time we saw Loki, he was floating in space and doing his suicide space wallowing. And turns out he's still alive. I mean, we saw him in the end credit scenes of Thor, but he's still alive.
Yeah, we saw him in the end credits, but it was kind of like, what does this mean? Turns out that son of a bitch ain't dead.
Unfortunate. I mean, it's Loki. We love to hate him. We love to hate him.
We have a Hulk. Oh my God.
Shut the fuck up. So, okay. So Loki is still alive after being exiled from the Nine Realms, and he wants to rule Earth because he's like, well, I'm not going to rule Asgard, so I might as well rule Earth. Whatever. So during his space wallowing, he meets someone called the Other, who's a servant of some mysterious warlord that we haven't met yet. And the deal is that Loki will recover the Tesseract from Earth, which the Tesseract...
Full circle,
baby! So if Loki recovers a Tesseract, He can use the Chitauri, which is an alien cyborg race,
Who is
to.
commanded by this warlord that we don't know anything about.
Yeah. So he can take this Chitauri race and basically, screw Earth and be able
Basically
to become
fuck up
its
Earth.
leader. Yeah.
Basically demolish
So
Earth.
he also can get this little scepter thing that's like, we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
But
These will all be
yeah.
explained in a few minutes. We just want
Yeah,
to get through.
we'll talk about like the scepter and the warlord and shit, don't worry.
But yeah, so that was one of the major plot things we had from Avengers. The second biggest thing we wanted to talk about was the fight in New York City against the Chitauri, because this has major prevalence throughout the MCU. Obviously, we can't talk about that right now, but it'll be brought up in later episodes.
Don't worry.
So I think this is just for us, this was just a really big part of this movie, just because it's the first time we really see the Avengers actually finally working together. In the previous scenes in the movie, they were working together, but they weren't really working. They were kind of just fighting each other, if that makes sense. So they kind of were doing their own methods and didn't really want to work together. And the reason behind this, like where they finally all got together, is because Agent Coulson died. Rip.
Ugh,
Rip
stop.
fell. Rip fell. Rip. Rip.
God, Agent Coulson.
So
God, we
yeah,
love him.
that's something they finally got to like rally behind together. So yeah, that's what they were fighting for together. Like Fury said, they needed a push. So Matt, you want to go into the last final point of this?
Yeah, so the Security Council puts the missile through New York City. So there's just this missile.
And the Security Council is like for SHIELD, if you guys are forgetting.
Yeah. So the Security Council's like, oh, we should put this missile in New York and just like destroy everything because they're not gonna win. So we might as well just destroy everyone that's living in New York City right now, which is pretty big population if you guys
Yeah, if you
don't
didn't
know.
know, it's pretty large.
It's a pretty big city. So they want to basically just like blow up the whole place and be like, oh, whatever. If they all die, they all die, whatever. So
Yeah,
Iron
instead
Man is
of
like, screw that. I'm gonna put the missile in outer space. So he puts the missile in outer space
this
and destroys the Chitaurian portal, and like the fight's over. Yeah, that's
So,
about it for plot.
yeah, I mean, honestly, it kind of seems like we really went through this, but the major kind of things of this movie was just them trying to get together as a team and fight together. And just kind of learn each other and figure each other out. So, I mean, there wasn't really much more to talk about than that. And also, there was just a lot of fight scenes in this movie, too. I mean, like Loki took hold of Hawkeye and Dr. Erich Selvig and things like that. I mean, that's important, but it's not super prevalent to the MCU as a whole. It's just
It's
kind of
more
like,
like a plot device for this movie only, and then it just gets resolved by the end. So we're not going to discuss it because you obviously understand that something happened and it got resolved. It's not really
Yeah.
important that you know the intricacies of everything. Now, if you want to, feel free to Google. I mean, be careful because spoilers are rampant out there, but
But Wikipedia is also like a good
if you got
refresher.
have any questions, feel free to ask us.
Yeah, we check our Instagram, Twitter daily too, so.
Yeah. So just hit us up with those kinds of things and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. But this movie was definitely a lot of fan service, so we're going to talk about just like some of like the objects and people that we thought were important and that like kind of helped deliver that fan service. So the first thing we're going to talk about is the scepter. It's just like this crazy, like you probably all saw it and were like, "What the hell is this thing?" It's just like
That was one of the most confusing things, I think, when I first watched it. I was
What
like,
is this weapon? Like, it looks like old Egyptian, but it's glowy.
It's weird because like they introduce things that you find out later in movies and other things. Like when you're watching it, you're like, what the fuck am I looking at? Like, what is this thing? So we're just gonna go over what the scepter does.
So, the scepter was given to Loki by the other, who was a servant of the warlord. It has like so, like, this can be defensive, offensive. Like, it's pretty cool. It can fire projectile blasts. It
It's a
can
very
manipulate
versatile weapon.
minds, like what it did with Hawkeye. It can enable teleportation through the Tesseract, which is crazy because we're like, wait, the Tesseract can like teleport people? So it's just like we're getting a lot of like details and shit. It's like crazy.
Yeah. It also has astral projection and allow mental communication. So it's a very versatile object, and it still doesn't really tell us exactly what it is. We just know it's extremely powerful, and it was gifted to Loki. Like, again, it wasn't originally Loki's to begin with. So like we said, it can affect people's mind, and it also allowed the portal of the Chitauri to close. That's the only reason that this portal closed. When Tony brought the missile up,
Black Widow was able to like use the scepter as like basically like a crowbar to be like, let me just like,
what does this close?
Yeah, like, so yeah, he throws the missile up there, she closes it, it explodes as it's closing.
Yay,
it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Pretty good dynamic.
Yay,
between
teamwork,
those.
Avengers. Yeah.
So basically that's everything we have for Avengers except for the end credit scene. As we've said before, the end credit scenes always tease something, either like a new movie or a new character. So we get teased the Warlord that is completely off camera for the entire phase one. So we only see him in the end credits. He obviously has some bloodlust in destroying the humans. He wanted to like rule them, but now he's like, well, screw it. If I can't rule them, I want them dead.
Mm-hmm. And his
he doesn't have a motive.
His motive is unknown. Yeah. So it's kind of known that he wants to, you know, have domination over people, but his true motive isn't known, like for what reason why he wants this. So
was a pretty dope end credit scene. I remember watching this for the first time being like, this is some douchebag, like it's gonna be crazy.
This fucker whacked out. He
like
whacked
this
out.
Is gonna be some Cersei type shit.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, so Avengers, it's a pretty it's a complex movie, but not super complex. You just have to
like there's details, but they're not,
you just have to know
they're easily explained.
Yeah.
You just have to know if you just watch the movie.
This was kind of short. We got through this pretty fast, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, we still have our thorns and roses, so we'll treat you guys to a little bit more.
I completely forgot about that. Matt, you can start with your thorn and roses, because I already did that first.
So, I think I speak for both of us for our thorns. Agent Coulson dying is just the worst thing that possibly could happen during this movie. I mean, it's not, but it was the worst thing that did happen.
He was just such a good, like, little sidekick character that everyone loved. I mean, he really, like, brought it together, I feel like.
Like, he was, like, some normal guy doing his job, and then all of a sudden, Pepper Potts is like, you want a story? We'll get you a story. And that was all the way in 2008, and then this movie comes out. What was this, 2012?
I think so. I think
This, like, 2012, like, 4 years later, he's still an active part, and then all of a sudden, he's just, like, dead.
I really wasn't expecting him to die. And then he was like, I don't even know what this does. Then bam, it hits Loki. Oh, that's what it does. I love him.
And then my rose is the opening, just because it's like so impactful and it sets up so much, just with, you know, all of the tea. There's just so much tea.
Mm-hmm. I think that opening was really good, because we kind of see what's going on with the Tesseract and everything like that. Kind of gives like a little bit more background for people who are still confused about it.
And kind of a sense of urgency for the whole movie. Like, bad shit's going to happen. When are they going to fix it? How are they going to fix it?
Yeah, definitely agree with that rose there. So for my rose, this is kind of more of like a playful, fun banter rose. The fight scene between Thor, Iron Man, and Captain America in the woods. I think it's probably about like 15, 20 minutes into the movie. So it's pretty early in the movie.
This is incredible.
Where Tony is saying like, oh, Shakespeare in the park.
Doth mother knoweth you weareth her drapes?
Oh my God.
I was screaming. I was like, Tony Stark,
this could not
have
been.
Don't ever change.
Could not have been a more perfect scene. Then Cap comes
and Thor was so confused. He's like,
what the hell are you saying to me?
And then why are you talking in our accent? Like, that's me. Like,
and then Cap comes in and he says, I'm gonna settle the dispute. And he's like, you want me to put the hammer down? You want me to put the hammer down? Oh
Our accents are so off point, but it's so funny.
I know. Incredible. And then I also have a second rose because I couldn't choose. Is Hulk smashing Loki at like the end of the movie and him saying puny god? I'm a god, you dull creature. Oh my gosh.
And he just like fucking picks him up with the feet and just like
nothing more perfect. I think that was why this movie was like so well received. This is like the first like kind of funny stuff we get from the movies.
Like I said, fan service.
Yeah.
The fan service was incredible. Like we all wanted like funny interactions between these. Like we knew Thor was like out of it. Thor doesn't belong on Earth. So we're like, we need some funny like material with him.
So yeah, really good movie to end phase one.
Oh God, phase one's done. That was so quick. We did phase one in 2 episodes. I guess that's not that surprising considering we're gonna finish phase two in 1 episode. Heard it right, folks. Next week you're gonna get Iron Man 3, Thor 2, Winter Soldier, Guardians, Ultron, and Ant-Man.
We wanted to do something really special for you guys, and we wanted to be caught up for when Loki premieres because we really want to be up to date with what's coming out and things like that for you guys. So we are grinding this out and everything like that so we can be of fan service to you.
The one thing I do want to say is we are going through this really, really, really fast. Yeah. We do not expect you newbies to get through all of these movies in a week.
Oh, yeah. No.
I mean, binge watchable. Like we said, they're binge watchable, but it's a lot. Like you need to take breaks and stuff. So don't feel pressured to just like rush through these movies and watch them on like 3 times speed.
We'll be here.
We're still going to be here. Don't worry. We're still here. And we'll see you guys next week. Thanks, guys.
We will see you soon. Bye-bye.